Welcome to Not Enough Champagne, a podcast that knows all too well the curse of the bald politician. My name's Corey Hazelhurst and my partner in propaganda is Steve Haynes.
Hey Corey.
We're also joined by special guest star, lecturer in German and European politics at the University of Birmingham, Charlotte Galpin. Hello Charlie.
Hi Corey.
Now the bald politician in question is Martin Schulz of the SDP in Germany. As some of you might remember, listeners, there was an election in Germany a few weeks ago. Some claim that it was the malaise of social democracy in Europe, or maybe the SDP's record in government, that caused Angela Merkel to receive an election win rather than the SDP. Obviously, if you are a regular listener of Not Enough Champagne, you will know that the reason why the SDP did not win is because Martin Schulz is bald.
And everyone knows bald people just don't win elections.
It's true. But what we're going to do here is try and interrogate that claim a little bit more. Charlie went out to Germany for the election, and so we're going to obviously mansplain German politics to her after this. So, Charlie, do you want to just quickly just say what were the results of the election?
So, the two governing parties, the Christian Democrats and the Social Democrats, both did a lot worse than they did in the last election. The SPD went down to, I can't remember exactly, was it 20%?
20 and 21, I think.
Which is a historic low for the party. And then the CDU, Christian Democrats, we're around 32-33%, down from, I think, nearly 40% at the last election.
So a significant drop.
And then, of course, the Alternative for Germany, the far-right party, got around 12% and made it into the Bundestag for the first time. Mm-hmm. So that's quite significant.
Because AfD got seats and then and the Greens did.
And then the FDP.
Oh, the FDP got back in because they left the
parliament. Yeah, last time they got below the 5% threshold, yeah. Didn't they? And this time they're back in there.
Yeah.
And the FDP are basically, they're the German Liberal Party, but they're essentially orange bookers, aren't they? They're kind of pro-business.
Yeah, like proper right of centre on economics. So I don't even know if they were in the same league as orange bookers. Like they're pro-business neoliberals.
Okay. They're very much where, say, the Tory wets are in Britain. Say, like your George Osborne's, your David Cameron's.
Probably, yeah. Okay. Of course, they're also liberal on social issues, and they're not Eurosceptic in the sense that we would understand Eurosceptic.
Right. Okay, I'm basically just picturing David Laws.
yeah, I think that fits.
And there's no government yet, is there? Well, Angela Merkel's chancellor, she's kind of leading the free world and all that, so she's quite busy. But there's talk of a Jamaica coalition.
Yeah, so Jamaica coalition would be CDU, the FDP and the Green Party. So it refers to the colours of the three mm-hmm. parties. But the coalition negotiations are going to go on for quite a long time. So I think we will be lucky if they get a government before Christmas.
Okay. I was going to say, how long does it normally take for the Germans to actually come to an agreement? Because I know in, like, was it the Netherlands with Mark Rutte? He's only just seemingly formed a government after 2 years since the election or something daft like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, it doesn't take that long, but definitely longer than the 5 days it took the Liberal Democrats and the Conservatives to make a coalition. It takes weeks.
Okay.
I don't know what the record is, but it's not unusual that it takes a long time.
And presumably it will take a long time this time because the FDP got burnt, didn't they? This might sound similar, listeners, to any other examples you can think of, but the FDP went into coalition with a Conservative Party and voters didn't like it very much and they took some very unpopular decisions and then they lost a load of seats and their leader resigned. I can't think of a British parallel.
No, neither can I. It's,
just without, doesn't sound familiar.
Yeah.
But because of that, their leader this time, who looks a bit like Paul Collingwood, I don't know if there are any cricket fans, but the leader of the FDP looks a lot like Durham England cricketer Paul Collingwood. I can't remember his name, but
Christian Lindner.
Christian Lindner.
He's the one with the really weird posters.
Yeah.
Like, there's been a load of articles online about kind of like German election posters that I've seen.
Because some of them did a spoof one of all of his posters. There was like a BuzzFeed spoof of FTP posters.
What is he doing on his posters?
He's just like cool guy, like black and white, and like, I don't know.
They look like he's trying to be in a Dior perfume advert in a magazine or something like that.
He might be able to cut it in a Dior perfume ad, but could he cut it in government? What kind of things does he want?
So the FDP are like their main policy goals will be the Eurozone. So they will oppose any attempts by Macron to deepen integration in the Eurozone that would create like a fiscal transfer union or Euro finance minister, that kind of thing. So they're completely opposed to any kind of debt sharing within the Eurozone.
Okay.
And so the biggest problem, I think one of the biggest problems in the coalition negotiations will be that the Green Party are completely left on economics. So you'll have two parties that completely oppose each other on the economy, trying to reach an agreement. Also because the FDP will really want to go for the finance minister position. That's going to be one big challenge.
A government with completely contradictory opinions on how the economy should be run. Well, I can't think of a British parallel for the Greens in Germany. They are, for want of a better way of putting it, they're a little bit more sensible than the Greens here, aren't they? I mean, they've been in government before, and people like Joschka Fischer have been ministers in the government.
They have a split between the what they call the Realos wing, the like moderates, and the Fundies, the fundamentalists.
Wow, wing. Again, so, I can't think of
it. Doesn't sound familiar at all. So there are also tensions there because, the left of the party will find it much more difficult to be in coalition with the CDU and the FDP than the moderates. So their state parliament of Baden-Württemberg has a green CDU coalition, but the Greens there are quite conservative, I think. So because Germany has a sensible electoral system, the Greens are actually, they've been in government at state level and they've been in government before. You know, they're an established party that has experience of being in government.
Would a Jamaica coalition last? Do you think it would actually work?
I don't know. It's failed twice at state level. So there's been, a couple of instances where it hasn't worked, or hasn't lasted. There will be an effort to make it stable, because Germans generally are quite aware of the instability in the world outside of Germany, and that they need to have...
The world's unstable.
No.
Any particular person they're thinking about, do you think?
People?
In the White House, maybe.
White House, crazy people in the British government.
Mm.
And also because the AfD are in parliament now, there'll also be kind of concerns about the AfD having any way of kind of getting political capital out of an unstable coalition. So it's really hard to tell, basically.
Wait, what actually happens if it does break down? Do we have another set of elections, or is the likelihood that, you know, maybe a different coalition could be formed in wake of that instability, or...?
The numbers don't really add up for any other option. So the only other possibility would be, again, another grand coalition between the CDU and SPD.
Which the SPD have so far completely ruled that out, haven't they?
They've ruled it out. I mean, they were really punished for the grand coalition. But also they have kind of a moral responsibility to be in opposition, because if they're not in opposition, then the AfD are the main opposition party.
That's an interesting take.
So, and then there are certain, you know, positions in parliament that the main opposition party fills. And so
it's give the AfD, more media attention and things like that, potentially.
And more legitimacy.
Is it the head of, I think, is it the budget committee or something that the AfD would then be head of if they're the official opposition as well? Okay.
Yeah.
So with the SPD, is it a case of they don't want to go back into government, almost a case of principle and self-interest coinciding, that people don't want to be part of a government that was punished, but also are they trying to deny AfD those key things?
First and foremost, it's interest of the party that this is a really bad result for the SPD, and they've been in governments for like 8 of the last 12 years or something with the CDU, and they really need to kind of be in opposition, reformulate their kind of, yeah.
Mm. What did the SPD do in government that was so unpopular?
It's not even really that they did anything.
So it's not
specific.
like with the Lib Dems where you can track it back for the most part to a couple of key policy decisions or anything like that.
They've basically just been really bad at taking credit for the things that they have done, and Merkel's taken credit for a lot of things. You know, Merkel's credited for the refugee decision, which SPD voters would be sympathetic with. There was the decision to allow same-sex marriage earlier this year, which basically only happens because parties like the SPD put pressure on Merkel, and eventually she kind of neutralized that as a campaign issue. So I feel like a lot of it is more to do with Merkel being a very shrewd politician, and she's moved into the center, so she's not really that conservative at the moment. She's really taken a lot of ground from the centre-left parties.
She's stuck her tanks on the left's lawn and is basically challenging them to come take it off of her.
Yeah.
Tony Blair would be very proud. Is that leading to a pushback from Merkel's own party? Do they think she's not conservative enough? Is there a German version of Jacob Rees-Mogg that's going to come?
Yeah. Well, not Jacob Rees-Mogg. I think this is a very British phenomenon.
I'm imagining some sort of conservative politician in Lederhosen.
I was imagining like just someone who's dressed up as Kaiser Wilhelm.
Well, you mentioned Lederhosen. So the main problem for Merkel is the CSU, the Christian Social Union, and they're the Bavarian sister party of the CDU. So they basically have a joint election programme, but they're separate parties.
So like what might be the case in, say, like Northern Ireland and things like that in the UK, sort of?
Labour in the STLP.
Yeah, something like that, yeah. But they are definitely to the right of the the CDU.
Mm-hmm.
One of their famous CSU leader in the 80s famously said that there can be no party right of the CSU in Parliament, and that was supposed to mean that the CSU would kind of they would be the right edge of the political spectrum to prevent a kind of far right party. And so now everyone's talking about the fact that there is now a party right of the CSU, and a lot of the CSU, I think a lot of that is because they see Merkel as being too far to the centre. So that's actually another problem for the coalition, because it's actually a negotiation between four parties, and the CSU especially will have a particular approach to refugees and everything.
Are they not quite down with Merkel's approach to refugees?
No. So okay. they want a limit on the number of refugees that are admitted every year.
Okay. I've seen a few takes over in Britain from momentum types saying that the SPD should try and take a lead from Corbyn and become more radical and use Labour's manifesto as a blueprint, which is a take I'm quite sceptical with, having seen polling that suggests that 80% of Germans describe themselves as centrist, which I'm guessing they just did to annoy Owen Jones. But where do you think the SPD will go? In what direction are they going to become more radical? Like, what new thinking do you think they'll bring?
I mean, they're not going to go super radical. There's already the left party, which is the kind of far left party that Corbyn would probably get on quite well with. And then the Greens are quite left on economics, so
it's not really the same kind of gap to fill.
That's kind of the problem, because I mean, people are kind of talking about, oh, this is the kind of decline of the centre left or social democracy that is symbolised by their loss. But we also have to think that there are two other left parties, and so altogether, left parties in Germany got like 40% of the vote or something.
Mm. One of the interesting things I found about from just watching the German election from afar was, when you looked at the polling for ages, it did look like the SPD were going to actually be the biggest party. What happened to cause that dip in support? Is there a
did they publish a manifesto? Was there Nick Timothy to write it?
Was there an identifiable moment or anything like that? Or was it?
It's actually I would see it more as the high point was more of a blip, and it kind of just went back to normal. So when Schultz came, was appointed the candidate for SPD.
We had Schultz mania.
We had the Schultz mania, Schultz effect, and they shot up for a while in the polls, but it just, it didn't last. And
so I mean, that to me suggests that there's a decent number of people who are at least open or persuadable at some point potentially to vote for the SPD. So there's clearly still a market for them.
Yeah.
They just need to find a way to actually reach them. That's always the tricky bit, mind you.
Yeah.
Shall we go on to AFD then? We've kind of ignored the fascist elephant in the room. Goose stepping. Can elephants goose step? That's probably not. Anyway, it'd be difficult. So they got, as you say, 12-13% of the vote, which is the highest that a far-right party in Germany has got, I think, since the early 50s.
The beginning of the 60s was the last time there was a far-right party in the federal parliament.
You met some AFD politicians when you were out in Germany.
We met one.
You met one. What were they? What was he like?
I mean, he was quite open and frank with talking to us. He was probably on the more moderate wing of the AFD, which is still...
I was going to say, because from what I've seen, the AFD's actually got a really interesting split in it in some ways. You do have your, in effect, your alt-right kind of neo-Nazi tendency types within there. But you also got one of the leaders within the AFD was not what you would consider to be a typical kind of like neo-Nazi at all. One, she, which is very unusual actually in these sorts of movements, was kind of like much more, very anti-EU as himself, but I think she was a lesbian, I think she was...
The Alice Weidel, yeah. I mean, although, yeah, I mean... She was like an investment banker, and they are. Oh, she's a lesbian, so they can't possibly be to an extremist party. And relatively moderate on the face of things. Although during the campaign, some emails came out that she had written where she said some quite disturbing things about Muslims. I think
she's a member of the AFD, so I think that's kind
but
of.
But you're. Yeah, they definitely have. You can't call them neo-Nazi party. There are certainly some members of the party that are neo-Nazis or express kind of neo-Nazi sentiment, but the rest of them are
just UKIP types?
Yeah.
What was the politics of the chap you met then?
He was kind of going on the party line, and the kind of what struck me most about him is how he would present the AfD as like the victims. So they're like the victims of the mainstream media attacks.
I've heard that.
On the party.
Yeah, there's... there's definitely something in Britain about that.
Yeah. not just Britain, I think. all the other parties are being so unfair to them, and there's all of this... they're really about fighting the taboos, political correctness, and what is acceptable to say in German political...
Was this man actually orange, and did he use the term fake news?
No, I don't think he was orange. No.
Donald Trump is not hardworking enough to moonlight as an AFD politician.
This is a good point, yeah.
The thing I found interesting looking at the AFD votes is that there's... One is that there's a big East-West divide, not for the first time, one could say, in German politics. And the other thing was that if you look at where refugees have been accepted... and where the AFD vote was. Actually, the AFD tended to get more votes where fewer refugees and fewer immigrants had come in.
It's one of those classic little correlational inconsistencies. You look at in France, where Marine Le Pen's vote was. You look at the EU referendum in Britain, where the Leave votes were. They were all primarily in areas which had lower levels of immigration and refugees actually in them. It's not to say they hadn't seen some in there, but comparatively they were much lower.
Yeah, and it's very similar. Saxony, one of the eastern states, was where AFD got their highest support. There are some very small towns where 40% of people voted for AFD. But yeah, they have the lowest numbers of refugees. And there have been some kind of articles where journalists have kind of gone to speak to AFD voters, and it seems like for some of them it's kind of a preventative thing. Like they want to say, don't send us any refugees. We don't want refugees here. And the other thing is the particular context of the East. So you do have some quite deprived communities. People feel kind of left behind. And so a lot of people have to go to the West to look for jobs. And there's kind of a feeling that why are refugees getting all of this money when they should be investing in us? And so there's that's kind of dynamic. And in the East, it was majority men who voted for AFD, white men, who perhaps also have suffered most from decline of industry in the East and that kind of thing.
In terms of what the AFD will get up to in Parliament, the morning after they had their triumphant result, Frauke Petri announced that she was going to stand as an independent. What's the significance of that?
Basically shows that AFD is a very split party. Like, it's already split once in 2014, 15. And this is kind of another... So it kind of suggests that even though they're in the Bundestag, they might be consumed by infighting more than anything else.
Because it sounds like they're potentially going to play or fall foul to the thing that seems to happen to an awful lot of populist movements of any form, but especially of the far right as well, which is when they get into a position where they've got some responsibility or they've got some form of power or whatever, they then fail to actually do it or use it properly because they, for some reason, they seem to be very bad at actually screening for candidates who are competent and things.
Yeah, and I think, you know, UKIP's had this issue that Nigel Farage was always trying to keep a lid on the nuttiest members of the party and trying to strike a balance between being kind of presenting themselves as moderate enough to get the broadest amount of support, but also still
being in the same party.
And members of the AFD who are so far right that they're just not interested in that.
And which wing of the party is Frauke Petri on? Is she the nuttier end? Is she the more sensible end?
It's really weird because when the AFD... So it was first founded as like an anti-euro party, anti-bailout party. So it was not really about Islam at all. And then they kind of just gradually moved further to the right. And then when the refugee crisis hit, they took on Islamophobia as their kind of... but they split at that point because already... and Frauke Petri was on the further right wing. So the anti-Euro founders of the party left the party and set up their own one and left people like Frauke Petri with the party. So she was the further right when AFD was first founded, but now she's considered one of the more moderates, or she has tried to present herself as a moderate.
A moderate who hates Muslims.
Yeah.
Right.
So she was the one who basically, in an interview, implied that it would be okay for border guards to shoot at refugees to stop them getting in to the country. She likes to portray herself as moderate, and that's why she's broken away from the party. But I have some problems with describing her as moderate.
Most Germans, are they kind of taken in by it? How is she seen?
Most Germans, 87% of Germans did not vote for the AFD. So even though they did comparatively really well, it's, I think, important to remember that it's a minority. You know, there's a lot of concern about the rise of the AFD in Germany. And I think a lot of discussion coming how to deal with the fact that they're in the Bundestag.
Yeah, what kind of issue, what measures do you think they'll put in place? Do you think it's more about trying to provide jobs in the East for those people who've lost their jobs? Or will it be trying to talk more about identity and culture? Like, where do you think it will go?
So the CSU will probably go down the line a bit more of talking about culture and identity, but I definitely think, I don't really imagine a kind of big shift towards populism that we saw in Britain. So Merkel she's not a populist, she's not going to suddenly start adopting their rhetoric, and I think they'll try to actually deal with the kind of underlying reasons why people voted for them.
Would be a bit of a pivot, wouldn't it? yeah. I suppose that's the nice thing about having a proportional system, in that if UKIP is on 10% of the vote, then Britain basically destroys its political culture in an attempt to pacify them, whereas if the AFD get 10% of the vote, well, that's bad, but you don't need to try and copy their politics, because in some ways it doesn't matter about those 10% in various seats. You can just carry on with politics, exactly. Almost politics as normal.
Yeah. And Germans are very committed to liberal democracy and very concerned about populism. And even the kind of conservative newspapers are committed to liberal democracy and are not populist.
Shall we finish off by asking the really important question, which is what was Brexit? What did they talk about in terms of Brexit in the election and the politicians that you spoke to?
Nothing.
Okay.
You're telling me that Brexit wasn't the defining issue of the German election. God. I'm shocked. I thought they all wanted to sell us Mercedes.
Yeah, it's you know, it's really tough for a Brit to kind of learn that really Germans don't care that much. It's painful, but it was not a topic of the election at all. Most of the mainstream all of the mainstream parties are basically united on their approach to Brexit, which is yes, Brexit's a bad thing. We want to have a good relationship with the UK, but you can't have the benefits of the single market without the responsibilities of being a member, and that's it. So there's not going to be some dramatic shift towards protecting the German car industry, unfortunately.
Okay. Well, it's been nice talking about a country where Brexit isn't the most important issue. Thank you very much, Charlie. We have a Facebook page, facebook.com/notenoughchampagne, and we have a website, notenoughchampagne.com, in which we put various blog posts and fizzes and... James Cram designed our logo. You can follow him on Twitter at James Cram, and our theme tune is done by Dave Depper. You can follow me on Twitter at Paperback Writer.
I'm at Centre Radical.
And I'm not on Twitter.
You rebel. Happy plotting, everyone.